Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. I'm very, very excited. It's midweek here, and man, it's just what a way to get me through the week. One of my favorite tonight, our guest is phenomenal. He's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world of filmmaking, both traditional and independent film. One of my favorite people, as I said, Mr. Chris Morrissey. Chris, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And for those who don't know, Chris is one of the coolest indie filmmakers and makes some of the coolest movies I've ever seen. He is the nouveau, I don't want to say John Waters, because your stuff is funny. It's not necessarily camp. I think there's a little more highbrow humor in your work, but I crack up every time I watch some of your movies and stuff. Very, very good stuff.
Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome.
Glad to be on.
I was just thinking about your Trick of the Witch trailer, and I posted that this morning. And, you know, but we have to get out of here. The killer's going to get, they're going to get us. But I'm wearing heels, and I'm not used to running.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, that's the reality.
Exactly.
That's like the biggest complaint.
Oh, it's true. Oh man, you know, and it's funny because I'll tell you, years ago, this is totally off. So it's not about filmmaking or anything, but it really goes to show. Years ago, I was visiting some friends in Colorado, of all places, and it was Halloween night. And we decided, we found some haunted cemetery, like ghost spot on some ghost website, you know. And so me and my friends decided to go up. I mean, and it was like an hour and a half drive up into the Rocky Mountains to find this old cemetery. And we went, and I'm all, you know, gothed out. This is my kind of my goth days. And so on the way up there, and the blizzard started on the way up there. So like the universe was telling us, you know, this might not be the best idea. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm all gothed out. I'm going to be the first. I've seen horror movies. I'm definitely going to be the first person to get it, you know? So we get up to the cemetery.
No.
We finally find this place. One of the gates is like hanging off by a hinge. And it looks like something out of a Tim Burton movie. It just snowed. Like I said, there was a blizzard, but the blizzard stopped. And it's all sparkly in the moonlight. And so we're like, well, let's go in here. And we're walking, and I don't know, we saw a shadow or something that looked like it was moving down the path at us. And I'll tell you about the reality of human beings, or at least me, the reality of a jerk. I literally pushed everybody out of the way to get back to the car to leave. Yeah, it was kind of, everybody caught up. It was, as I said, it was an hour and a half car ride there. It felt like about a 20-hour car ride back because
that,
everybody
that
was like.
Sounds like when we filmed.
You let us
the
down.
Way, like we filmed in a real cemetery that was like in the middle of the desert on some mountain, and it was just like it wasn't even on the map. We just kind of drove up some hill and
wow.
Found it, and then we found some people that I guess were the caretakers. And we asked permission, like, hey, can we film a couple scenes here? And it actually turned out so perfect for the film. But the weirdest thing is when we filmed these scenes, like, there was a huge, big, orange, blood-red moon and fog started coming. And it got really creepy. And, like, even, you know, one of the couple of the actresses didn't even want it. They're like, I don't want to film here. This is too spooky. It's too real. And I'm just like... Use it in the scene, like go with it, you know. And that's like when we were filming the scene with the heels. Like, they're like, I can't run in heels. And I'm like, exactly. Use this in the scene. So that's where that kind of came from.
Nice. But... Your Chris is making them work. He's like, I don't care. Do you know how much of this effect would cost me? And we get it for free here. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, man.
Yeah,
I love
like, you couldn't even CGI a moon like that. It was just like, wow, this is like, you know, perfect timing.
Nice. I was talking to an independent filmmaker friend of mine. Oh, this is a while back. This has got to be about a year and a half ago. He was making a zombie movie in, I don't know, Cincinnati, Ohio, or Columbus, or somewhere in Ohio. And it's a period zombie movie. So he's got all kinds of zombie Nazis walking around, you know, hidden.
Oh, wow.
He's doing the shot, and it's all great. And he said, and then he goes, what I didn't realize when I got the location, it was right in the flight path of the air. So all these jets kept going by, ruining the
that's
shot.
Like one of the worst.
Yeah, he was not. He's like, oh, I didn't have those kinds of planes in World War II. Yeah, it happens. Now, let me ask you, before we get ahead of ourselves, Chris, now, you're from L.A., right? You were born and bred in L.A.?
Yeah, L.A. native, grew up in L.A., just never really left. This is my city, so I feel like I just have to be here.
Right. No, I understand completely. But the point I was making is you grew up around filmmaking, right? I mean, you're in that universe there. It's kind of hard to be in L.A. and not see it, at least. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because pretty much everybody that I grew up around either wanted to be an actor or start a band or, you know, was a writer. And, you know, eventually filmmaking became like, because at the beginning, you know, like filmmaking was something very difficult that like there's only certain directors that make films like Steven Spielberg. And, you know, it just seemed very like a hard thing to achieve. But then of course, like in the 90s, you know, all the like indie filmmakers like Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, like they kind of came around and changed all the rules. And that's when it was like, oh, well, hey, you know, like, I think now anybody can try to make films. And then look at now here in 2019, it's like everybody's a filmmaker now. So it's like, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting because like things have changed a lot. So that's like fun to watch in a way.
You know, it's interesting because filmmaking, I think independent film, and again, I'm not in the movie business. I'm just a painter, but all of, you know, growing up, and it seems all my friends are in entertainment of some vein or less, kind of like you, you know, and how, you know, you were saying that you see everybody wants to be in a band or make a movie or something. And, you know, I remember in the 90s, and now that you bring it up, it was right around when the music business kind of morphed into what it is today with Napster and all of this, you know, really cut the legs off the music business. And it was same period where independent film kind of the rise of independent film, you know, they used to call it art house films, I think, you know, back in the day, which were really obtuse and strange and whatnot. And, you know, you had to go to the bad part of town to watch them. That's where the theaters were. But, you know, now a filmmaker like yourself, you make these, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess it's on your website, contemporary cult classic. There we go. I like that. But kind of off a little bit, but fun films, but still, you know, they'll get your blood going. you know, with self-distribution and whatnot, I mean, that's how it seems that the independent film business is today. Do you think that you're kind of ahead of the curve because you've always kind of been doing that?
Yeah, it's so funny to me because I just went to a filmmakers convention last week here in LA, and it pretty much was focusing on all the latest technology, and we're in the world now of like everybody's, you know, like a YouTube influencer or they're like Instagram famous, and you know,
right,
a lot of the stuff they were covering was this whole new like era of everybody kind of doing things on their own. So it's interesting for me to kind of see it, because it's like I had been doing that all these years, you know, with my films.
Right.
And now it's like they're telling people like, oh, this is what you have to do. You have to, you know, get together with these people and try to, like, you know, cross promote and do like branding and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just funny to me, because I had been saying this stuff for so many years. People here in LA who were like, oh, I'd be interested in making a film. So now I feel like this is like, people are taking it very serious, and it's like how to go about it. It's kind of eye-opening to see, like, that's just how the industry is now becoming. It's like, I was doing it to kind of break the rules because I didn't want to go through the studio system and have to wait for someone to tell me yes. Now it's like everybody's like, you know, just doing like the rules that I was breaking. Now they're breaking the rules, and they're like, oh, this is the standard procedure these days. And it's like, wow, okay, I need to like think outside the box and break more rules.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you, in filmmaking, like I said, excuse my ignorance on it. I just have never made a film or been involved in that process. I grew up Metro Detroit, very blue-collar industrial town, and I remember the big thing there was not nearly as glamorous as what you're doing. People would open a shop. That's like the big thing that would happen. Oh, we're opening a shop, and we got this contract with, you know, whomever, GM or something, to run this many parts for, you know, the inside of an armrest or whatever. It was nothing glamorous. But that was the big dream. You know, if you got in with one of the big automakers with your business, you had it made. That's what everybody kind of thought. And the reality was, because I knew some people that happened to, and then they were like, oh, man, you got to survive at least a year before you see any money. You know, there was all net like 120 and net 90 and, you know, checks.
Oh, wow.
People weren't just writing a check right away and you run to the bank. And you had to have kind of this contingency. Do you think the studio, like working with the studios and whatnot, is like that? You think it's a slow, like slow, then fast, then slow type pace with that on the business side of things?
Well, you know, the funniest thing to me is that you would think that having a track record of a big studio and knowing what works and what doesn't work, they would want to take more risks and try new things. But it's like a lot of these studios, they keep doing remakes of so many older films, like remake upon remake. And then it's like sequel upon sequel. So it's like they're trying to play everything very, very safe. But a lot of people are onto it. And a lot of people are like, well, like, why did they remake that? Like, they just remade Pet Sematary, and, you know, people who liked the original
and
were
didn't
like,
need
why
to be remade.
That? Like, yeah, and it's like,
I would be one of those people.
So, yeah, and it's like, I didn't even go see the new one, because it's like, I actually didn't like the original, but I was just like, oh, you know, like, you know, why did they remake that? So I feel like the studios are playing very, very safe. So I feel like with, like, people like me or anybody that's trying to make an independent film, like, this is the perfect timing to just do things, you know, take risks. And if you have a story that's different or controversial or something that nobody's seen before, this is your time to jump in and do it, because people are actually going to go see it just to find something new and refreshing. And I think it's like such a great time creatively for artists, because it's like there's no rules now. Like, you just got to do it. Disrespect to the studios or anything. Like, I know what they're doing, and I appreciate, you know, that they are trying to keep film alive and keep the theaters that are, you know, still thriving, like AMC and ArcLight and all these people. I mean, all these theater companies. You know, like, I don't want to see film to be a dying thing. But now a lot of people have, you know, they're watching Netflix and Hulu, and not going to the
theaters
as much. So it's, you know, it's a it's definitely an interesting time in the industry, because there are so many different outlets to show your film, and you kind of have to like either choose one or choose all of them.
Right. Right. No, I hear you. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at MBMMusicLLC.com. That's MBMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
You know, that's how it is in our house, to be honest with you. We have every streaming thing that you can have. And to be fair, before I say this, with all of our friends, Danny and I are definitely the artsy fartsy kind of bohemian, friends out of our little gang of people we hang out with. But I will say this: if I were to have a cocktail party or a dinner party, just a movie night, at our house, and invite people over and whatnot, I would definitely put on a Chris Morrissey film as opposed to, Avengers 14 or whatever. You know what I mean? Because I just don't.
Oh, wow. I definitely know that you guys would have a good time as long as there's a lot of booze flowing and good snacks. Because my films are best enhanced with a little bit of whatever works.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. They're just fun. They're very cool, and I like them. I like them a lot. Let me ask you this: you've made quite a few films. How many do you have under your belt total now? 10, 15, like that?
Not that many. Not as many as I would like to. That's kind of my goal. 15 would be a good number. I think, and I would actually have to recount this because somebody actually asked me the other day, and I was like, you know what, I'm not really sure. Let me think. And I was like having to go back and kind of like, because I've made, there's a couple films that I made that one of them was completed, but it kind of is on the shelf because right. of some music that's in the film that I couldn't get the licensing for. So I kind of had to put it aside until I can like redo the music and not, you know, use the songs that are in it. So that one never really saw the a theatrical release, but the ones that actually were made and had full on theatrical releases, I would say like six of them. And then there's the one that's on the shelf. And then there's one that was kind of started. We shot maybe like a quarter of the film and then we kind of just put it on hold. So I technically want to say like seven or eight films, but yeah, I think technically if you want to look at the ones that actually made it to the theaters, it's about six.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's amazing, man. That's amazing. I can't even imagine. I get highs whenever I have to do an art show. And that's just, you know, one night, you know, well, at least for the opening, you know, then somebody usually takes off. But, you know, I couldn't handle making a movie, getting a you know, getting money together and doing, oh, man. And then getting the people. That's like herding cats, I would imagine, you know. And that's just making the thing and then getting it out. Oh, my gosh. My hat goes off to you, sir. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, you definitely live with these projects for years. I mean, I always tell people that it's almost like, you know, they're like kids because it's like you're basically from the minute you start making the film and then it's like once you finish it and put it out there, it's like sending the kid off to school and then it becomes a teenager and then 5 years later, like you're still talking about the film, but people have a different kind of view on it and you've kind of put it out of your head so you have a different perspective on the film. And yeah, it's definitely, they're like babies.
Oh man, I'm telling you, I had a guest on, it was about a year ago, and independent filmmaker, and he it was being released, it was going to video on demand, and his film, and it was I thought it was a very cool eco-terrorism type film, you know, very different, very kind of X-Files Fringe-esque, you know. And
wow.
Before I did the show, I was, you know, trying to do a little bit of research on this filmmaker and whatnot, you know, just so I knew what to talk about, you know, when he was on the show and whatnot. And I YouTubed, I put his name in the YouTube, and this interview came up. It was like a morning news entertainment piece. And they were very excited in this town in Minnesota where he'd filmed this because filming was starting and, you know, they had him on the morning show and they were very excited. And then I looked at the date and it was 2001. And I'm like,
oh,
wow. Moly. And it was just coming out last year. And
oh,
I'm not laughing at him. I'm just because I've had projects like, and the thing was, is it gave me hope. I have so many back burner projects. My whole stove's filled up. But that gave me hope because I'm like, you know, just because they've been on the back burner a while doesn't mean they're dead. This could happen. We could make this happen.
Yeah.
You know,
film
and he was saying it was money. You know, that he had to raise money. You know, he had to do things. And it just kept,
happening. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. It's like the film that I have on hold, like that was, I think that was done in like 2006 or 2007. But I mean, to this day, I still have people, like the actors are like, when are we going to see the film? Or like, when is it ever going to come out? And it's like, you know, if I at some point can like spend, because, you know, things changed with like high def and, you know, when we, you know, like the whole, yeah, technology changed. So it's like, it's not as simple as just going back and like removing the music and putting new music on. It's like, you literally have to go back and like start from scratch and kind of re-edit everything in high definition and reformat everything. So it's like, when I do have some spare time and, am able to just like spend like 3 months working on that and re-putting in like brand new music, like I will release that
right.
album. But well, yeah, it's just sometimes it takes it. Things can take 10 years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
so the fact that
you know, I think
got it out is great.
Oh, finally. Yeah. He did a deal and somebody wrote a check. It must have been a good pitch. I don't know the details. I'm talking out of the side of my mouth, folks. No, but the thing was, the point of the story was, is he did get it out. So don't give up. So you never know. Things
can
happen.
Yeah, never give up. You gotta see it through.
Exactly. Let me ask you this. Now, how does this usually work? You, because I know you wear a ton of hats. You know, so I just say filmmaker when I'm talking about Chris Morrissey, because I wouldn't have enough room in the description box if I put, director, writer, producer.
Definitely wearing many hats. but I love it.
How does it work? Do you come up with an idea for a script and then lock yourself in a room, kind of Jack Kerouac-esque and, type frantically on the laptop for, months on end and then start making calls or, casting for it? I mean, what's the process usually?
For me,
on a Chris Morrissey film?
Oh, I usually get ideas, randomly. I could be driving somewhere and then all of a sudden, I hear a song on the radio and just something will pop in my head. I'm like, oh my God, that would make a great scene from a film, or this idea would be perfect for like a good storyline. So then I get in the mode where I'm like, okay, I can jot ideas down or like type it into the phone on notes, but actually sitting down and like fleshing it out and writing it and like creating the characters, that takes a lot of discipline. And it definitely takes a lot of, you have to really commit to like, okay, I'm going to sit down for like the weekend and I'm just going to work on dialogue, or I'm going to work on, just the story from beginning to end. And then it just kind of usually just comes together if you're inspired enough on its own. But there's been times where I'm like, okay, let me sit down and order a pizza and get a bottle of wine and like just see if any kind of ideas come through that. But usually I know I'll have the idea for the storyline and then I'll kind of like come up with ideas for a title, or I can come up with a title first and then create the storyline based off the title.
Right.
And then
that's awesome.
The writing process isn't too hard. Like it tends to pretty much flow easily for me. I know some people when they write, they want to do like 20 rewrites and have all their friends read it and take all their notes. And I usually don't do that just because I'm like, I can take notes from every single person I know and I'll never finish it because I'll be like, okay, should I change this? Or the character in this one scene did this, like, what do you think? And then of course, 10 people are going to say they love it. 10 people are going to say they hate it. And then I'm just like, okay, well, I guess it's my decision of which way to go. So I usually just write like, I'll write the script pretty quickly and then I'll kind of put it aside so I'm not really thinking about it much. And then I'll start kind of getting ideas of like, this one scene, let me tweak it a little bit, or let me add a little more like drama to it, or like it feels like this whole storyline needs something more of a punch. So usually you'll like put it aside and then revisit it and then maybe add to it and reread it with a fresh mind. And then I'll just be like, okay, this is perfect. I really want to make the film. Let me start working on like, location ideas, or like who do I know or would be perfect for like certain roles. Let me meet with them and kind of like run it by them and see if they're interested, or let me hold auditions.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
But the craziest thing is, like, after making the last, you know, couple of films, the biggest question I got asked was, like, okay, what's next? What's your next film? And I really got to a point where I'm like, you know what? I don't know what I want to, like, I don't want to do the same thing. I love doing horror and campy, comedy, crazy character, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'll still do that always. But, like, I think now I'm at the point where I'm like, I want to do something a little more, like, deeper, a little more, like, offbeat, more drama. So I basically gave myself this last year to, like, just step back for a little bit and, like, you know, just kind of write down some ideas and just let it flow, like, naturally and not really think about it too much. So one script that I started to write turned into three other scripts, and I basically ended up writing four scripts at the same time.
Wow.
And then I got to the point where I was, like, again asked, well, what's next? Are you going to start making your next film? And now I'm like, well, yeah, but I kind of have four that now I don't know which one out of the four I'm going to pick. So literally,
oh, man,
until, like, last month, I finally decided, okay, this is the film I think I want to do. I'm going to go ahead and pick it and just kind of tweak the script, get it, like, ready, pre-production. And now that's where I'm at right now. Like, I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, here we go. This is the movie. This is the next one. I'm feeling it. Like, I feel like it's the right one to do. And I'm just jumping in and just going to, like, you know, see what happens, see how it all forms. And it'll be pretty cool.
Well, and I want to let our audience know. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Chris got a hold of me a couple weeks ago and whatnot. And you know, he put the word out. He's like, hey, I'm ready to start on this film, and gave me absolutely no details at all. I have no genre,
no Morrissey fashion,
you know, nothing. And I'm like, okay. And so then I thought, well, I'll trick him. So when he sends over the press bio and whatnot, I'm sure some tidbits will be in there to kind of nope, the bio was about Chris. So I'm with you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm hearing about this for the first time. I'm not complaining because I know Chris well enough to know that it's going to be, you know, out of the park and whatnot. See, now the pressure's on. but no, I mean, I speak the truth. It's I know it's going to be, you know, fantastic and whatnot. Tell us about it. What type of movie is it going to be? Because I want it. It's been driving me crazy.
Okay. Well, basically, the film is called Atomic Babylon. And that right there alone, you know, people are already like, well, what is that about? That sounds like, is it a sci-fi film? Or, like, what is it? And it's like, no, it's not sci-fi. It's actually pretty much inspired by Los Angeles and Hollywood specifically. It is kind of a love letter in a sarcastic kind of way to Los Angeles.
Okay.
It's pretty much my take on, like, yeah, well, it's basically four different characters, storylines in one film, three women and a guy, and they each have kind of separate, they're all in the entertainment industry at different mm-hmm. levels. And it basically follows each character kind of their existence in Los Angeles and kind of the pros and cons of, like, you know, trying to become famous, trying to maintain whatever fame mm-hmm. they've achieved. And also one of the characters is just kind of like, you know, trying to figure out where they want to be in life. So it's pretty much very peppered with different, ironies of LA. There's a lot of in-jokes and a lot of, like, the people that live in LA will totally identify with that, like, you know, traffic on the freeway and just, you know, certain things that we all complain about and we all, like, love and hate about LA. But then the people who aren't from LA and don't really understand, like, some of the lingo and some of the crazy, like, you know, things that you only know from living in LA, I think it's going to be a cool, like, inside look at this crazy world that we're in, being the city of LA, and LA is looked upon as, like, this paradise where people are going to come to LA and become huge overnight stars and become, like, you know, the biggest celebrity in Hollywood. And so the story is pretty much, like, kind of showing you, like, the pros and cons, and I think it's going to be definitely interesting for, you know, people that are from here and people that aren't from here.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, and it's interesting. One of the and people think I'm lying when I tell this story. One of my favorite places in Los Angeles, and it's been a while since I've been there. Granted, I haven't been to LA in almost a decade now, it seems. I don't know how that happened, but it's very true. Wow. I used to like going down to, I had some friends of mine that had lofts. They had a couple friends of mine had lofts down, down by the old Greyhound station, by the Abercrombie and French factory and all that, you know, homeless road.
Oh,
down
okay.
There. But I used to love going to the Greyhound station, because that's how I got out of town. No, I'm kidding. Kind of. Ladies and gentlemen, what I would do is I'd go to the Greyhound station because there was this weird juxtaposition. The big buses would come in, and there'd be all these bright-eyed folk getting off the bus, you know, like, I'm in L.A., I'm in Hollywood, you know, and then 10 minutes or 20 minutes or so would pass, and then on the same bus, there'd be a big line of all the people that were leaving L.A., and it was such, like, polar opposite. They weren't bright-eyed, you know. Things just... And I could swear I could always hear that, Midnight Train to Georgia's song in the background. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, they're the ones that are leaving because they're like, why am I not famous yet?
Exactly. I'm waiting for my chance. I came here in 1972. You got to work. That's the big thing. I think, you know, this is very flip to say. And I don't mean to put anybody down or any shows down or whatnot. In the music business, though, and I don't know if this is so much in the movie business, but I think there's shows, you know, these TV shows, these competition shows like American Idol and whatnot, it gives people this, you know, people think that there's this shortcut, you know, oh, I can go on American Idol and I can be the next big star and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And every successful person in every type of business that I've ever come across in my life, you know, one of the first things is I ask, how did you get here? You know, what? How are you doing it? Because I'm trying to learn, you know, and learn from their pitfalls and stuff. You know, I'm trying to avoid some of those if I can. And the common denominator is everybody works their ass off. You know, they're like, you got to work.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, and you got to make connections and you got to do all this stuff that's right. And then you got to be real lucky too at the same time. You know, and it's almost this impossible mountain. But then, you know, there's people like you that are doing it. You know, you're knocking these out. You're doing your thing. Getting ready to make a new movie. That's awesome, Chris. Very inspiring.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks. No, I definitely, my goal is to inspire other people because, you know, the biggest thing I see, you know, living in LA is like so many people, they have an idea for a project and they start it, but they never follow through with it. And a lot of it, you know, is because I feel like they don't expect all the work that there is. And when they,
right.
when they realize how difficult and how you got to just keep grinding and doing it. And just like, you know, you pretty much are working 24/7 on whatever project it is. A lot of people get intimidated. And I tell everyone, like, look, you want to be an actor, you want to be a filmmaker, you want to be a writer, you have to put in the work. Like, yeah, you could be lucky and be in the right place the right time, because that's happened to me before. I've seen it happen to other people. But even then, you still have to put in the work. Like, there's a lot right. that you have to – yeah, I mean, even just waking up at, like, 4 in the morning to be, like, on set at – you know, 5 a.m. or whatever, like there's stuff people don't realize that that's part of the game. And as grueling as it is to, you know, have to like do that, it's like, well, you know, that's how you're going to succeed. And that's how you're going to like accomplish it and maintain it. And, you know, people see you working. They're going to, you know, show you, they're going to respect that. And then they're going to give you other opportunities because they know how hard you made the effort. But definitely it is, you know, for me, like, I mean, I get times where I'm just like, oh no, I'm going to make another film. Like, it's literally like a year long commitment. You know, that right. you're going to have sleepless nights and, you know, waking up early and long hours. And, but you know what? I love it. And then once it's finished, you feel accomplished and you know, like you're putting it out there for people, and it gets addicting. You just, it's like, you can't stop wanting to
create
art.
Yeah. That's exactly. How it is, man. You're an artist. And it's, you know, and it's funny. It's a blessing and a curse because you have to do it. You have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure if we, you know, and you've worked those, you know, see, and that's the thing for those who don't know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Chris hasn't always been this maverick filmmaker, you know, wearing his jumpers and walking around with a megaphone and a clacker. Now, no, somebody else always holds the clacker. Directors never hold the clacker. I'm talking out of my mouth. I have no idea what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. No, but what I do know is Chris has worked in offices and stuff. I mean, granted, cool offices, you know, Andy Warhol's Interview Magazine and stuff like that. Pretty awesome. But, you know, what the alternative is, you know, some cubicle and whatnot. I couldn't see you doing that. Not now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I loved doing that. I mean, that, I think that really grounded or like set the base of, you know, just that organization, because I mean, as a filmmaker, you have to really, I mean, there's so much to, you know, focus on, whether it's like scheduling or like, you know, breaking down different scenes, which ones you're going to film, at which location. I mean, like all of that foundation of working in offices and working for other people and learning all this stuff over the years, you know, at different companies, like that really, I guess, set the bar for me as a filmmaker, because it's like, okay, yeah, there's the creative aspect, but then there's the business aspect and there's the, you know, disciplined organizing and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, it is definitely something that is beneficial to have that kind of foundation. So if any of you are sitting in offices right now and wanting to, you know, be a filmmaker, like, hey, you're one step ahead of everybody else because you're doing things that you're going to have to do anyways. Yeah. And you'll be able to do it on your own, so you know that there won't be mistakes.
Right.
You'll catch
right. Oh, fantastic.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month. After $31.25 per month credit, apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rucks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierucks.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
Let me ask you, for this new project now, and not to get too much into your business, and I know sometimes with projects, especially at this position, that you can't say too much. You know what I mean? There's still T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted and whatnot. But I will ask, Any plans on doing a Kickstarter or fundraiser, crowdfunding? That's the word I'm looking for this project.
No,
or is it all going to be
that was an interesting thing for me because I have seen friends of mine that are filmmakers that have done Kickstarters and they were successful with it. But I always, everyone would ask me like, oh, well, are you doing one or, you know, how come you're not doing one? Mm-hmm. I just feel weird, like asking people for money that I don't know. And I don't want to disappoint anyone if like, you know, they put in, even if it's $10, you know, to get like an autographed CD or whatever, whatever perks that they give for, you know, Kickstarters. But I just feel weird, like, you know, like if I'm going to ask them for money, like I want them to, you know, be happy with the final product. And I wouldn't want like, you know, 100 people that contributed to it. Like, you know, what if they hate the film or what if they're like embarrassed about it or hopefully they'll love it. But I just, I felt like that's just a big pressure. Like you owe people for that. So I've always avoided doing that, but for the people who have done it and they're able to pull it off, I think that's great. I mean, it's a good tool to use, but I almost feel like, I don't know if I know for sure, I could be speaking wrongly on this, but I think they've changed some of the rules or maybe some of the companies that do those crowdfunding have like folded. I think there was one recently where I read like people put a bunch of money contributed into it and then like, the filmmaker never got the money, like the company folded. And so I don't know if those, you know, I don't know if that's like a great way to go about it, but.
That sounds like a nightmare to be in.
Yeah. It just sounds like a very, like it's just an extra headache. So it's like, I would rather do the old fashioned thing, like either try to raise the money, like however you can, or put in your own money. Or like, if you have friends or relatives that you feel like they're gonna want to like take that risk, then go about it that way. But yeah, it definitely is a big pressure for the filmmakers to have to like, you know,
perform it,
secure financing. Yeah, and but the good thing is now things are more at your fingertips. I mean, like these days people are filming movies on their iPhone. There was that movie by Steven Soderbergh called Unsane, which was all shot, I believe, on the iPhone. And then there's that movie Tangerine, which won like tons of awards. And that was done like on a bunch of iPhones. So it's like, I mean, you could pretty much make films now as long as you can get a good camera, get a good phone, you know, good microphone. So it's a lot easier for people now. Which is it's just a matter of like, you know, if you're going to use these, you know, phones or tools to make the film, at least try to make it as good as possible. Cause some people like forget about the quality. As long as you have a good story and you can like make it look good, then at least, you know, there's that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I hear what you're saying with the crowdfunding in my world, the art world, a lot of people, this Patreon thing has gained a lot of traction. Everybody's got a Patreon page. And people always ask me all the time, they're like, you know, why don't you do one? And I'm the same way. To me, somebody like investing in me or a project or whatnot, and this is just my personal thing and not saying that everybody should feel this way. It's, you know, say 10 people invest in a project of mine, you know, to me, I feel like I have 10 bosses now that I can't let down, you know what I mean? And it's just, and then some of these people, I look at some of these crowdfundings and they've got like 10,000 people that I'm like, oh, I don't need 10,000 bosses. I barely get through the day with, you know, one or two. that's just me. I don't know. But I'm not doing projects where I need, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars or anything. So, you know, it kind of works out. But no, with the radio show, it's the same thing. I go old school the same way. People are always saying, you know, well, have you done this or that? You know, how are you making money with it? And I'm like, advertising. You know, we do our shows. If you listen to anybody who listens to my podcast knows that we run ads and they're, you know, we're not making you know, I'm not buying Lamborghinis and driving down, you know, Miami Beach or whatever yet. No, I shouldn't say that. But no, you know, we do advertise kind of very like radio in the 40s. You know, this hour is sponsored by, you know, Lux potato chips or whatever. You know, I mean, that's how we do it. That's the business model, because it's easy to do and it's cause and effect. You know, it's very do this and that happens. It's simple. And I found that works best for me just because I'm not that sophisticated. But, you know, I don't know how that would translate to filmmaking and whatnot. But it's exciting.
Well,
this is the part where you're getting ready. The horses are in the gate, so to speak, on this.
Yeah, you actually brought up a really good point, because now a lot of companies and brands are willing to give filmmakers money, you know, to showcase their products in the film. So, I mean, that's like a big, that's a good way to actually get money for your films, is to approach some of these smaller companies, not like the big ones like Coca-Cola or Apple, but, you know, go to some of these newer companies that are looking to kind of, you know, get product placement. And, you know, a lot of them are willing to give, you know, if you feature their product, you know, in the film or the dialogue or like in a really important scene in the film, I mean, you could get like a good 10 grand or more.
Nice.
Just to like, you know, feature their product. So it almost is just like with advertising, because that's how, even when I worked at Interview Magazine, like it was all advertising driven.
Right.
You know, so it's definitely beneficial for filmmaking.
Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Have you started the casting process for this project yet?
You know what? I have in mind certain people when I was writing the script. I have some friends that are actors and actresses that I definitely will be, you know, approaching them and offering them roles if they like the script. But no, I'm at the stage where I'm going to be casting pretty soon, and I definitely want to bring in some new talent to kind of mix in with the people I've worked with already, and just, you know, like just make things new and fresh and kind of, you know, pay tribute to like the previous films in little, you know, quirky ways. But yeah, no, I'm definitely, I'm going to be casting pretty soon, doing like official auditions and stuff. Probably I would say like the end of July, 'cause we're going to start shooting, around, October.
Okay.
So that way it's finished by, you know, the beginning of the new year.
That amazes me. I remember that you work so fast on these projects, you know. You start filming a couple months later, boom, it's done. You know, I mean, when it goes, it goes. Hold on, baby. Quick, you know. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I also feel like you have to jump while the iron's hot, because like if you put it off too long and be like, well, I have to wait till winter, because I need like, you know, people wearing heavy jackets and this and that. It's like, if you're gonna wait till that, like by then, you know, your whole script could end up changing, or you could end up, you know, I don't know. Just I feel like if you don't jump on it and just do it, then you almost might never do it.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I want to let people know on our show page and how it works for those new to the show and whatnot. Our podcast, our episode gets changed, transformed into a podcast when we finish up the show. What we do is we that's when we add the commercials and whatnot in, and change anything that if we need to change anything. And our links and everything follow that. However you listen to the podcast later, the links will follow it. So you'll be able to link. And we have a link up to ChrisMorrisseyFilms.com with this Chris's webpage and whatnot. And on the webpage, I was just looking. It's an awesome webpage, by the way. Link
which
to,
needs to be
Chris on that. No, but it's great. It's great. I like it. But Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, you're on everything. And that's how people can get over there. So, you know, get to ChrisMorrisseyFilms.com and then follow him on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. And like and share, you know, always important and whatnot. And that way you can keep up to date with what's going on with Chris. Because like I said, man, it's going to go quick. It's going to go quick. He's going to start filming this thing. And before you know it, I'll be watching it in my living room. You know, it's amazing.
My goal is to have this new film finished and ready for like spring of 2020. So by May of next year, that's when I'll be calling you up and telling you about the premiere that we're going to be holding and getting people to come check it out.
Hopefully my backyard theater will be done by then and we can do a self-portal or something.
I was just going to say we also Cher Cherie, who of course I've worked with on many of my other projects. She made her directorial debut and she's finishing up her film, which is Hollywood Baby Doll. And
Cher Cherie, she's listening to this.
Yeah.
Email me because I want to talk to you about this. I want to get you on the show and whatnot. I'm going to email her after the show. So I have no idea. I need to know these things.
Definitely. Yeah, she just finished. That's why, you know, while I was writing my scripts, she started making her directorial debut. And she's almost done with it. And
nice.
I guess once she's done with post-production, that'll be premiering, hopefully, at the beginning of the year, I think around when Sundance Film Festival is. She definitely is. It's a really cool concept, and it's a definitely she's got such a cool take on, you know, being, you know, a female filmmaker, which we need more of in this industry. So it's going to be exciting to see how that all, you know, comes together after post-production is finished.
She is. She is passionate, I would say, about filmmaking and then physical fitness, too, sport, like running. And so she does these marathons. She's still doing all those marathons? She was
A
marathon a week for a while.
Yeah. She's actually like a marathon ambassador. She's got a whole team of people that she trains. And I think she's like sponsored by the Marathon LA something. I don't know. Like I sometimes lose track because that's like every time I talk to her, it's like, oh, I'm running this like 20-mile marathon. And it's like, wait,
I know,
minute,
like
you're
every week.
And you're doing this and you're doing that. Yeah. Like she's like a total superwoman go getter. So it's like hard to really keep up with.
Full energy. Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, I can't wait. I'm definitely going to reach out to her and talk to her. I had no idea this was happening. That's very cool. That is very cool. Yeah, you've worked with her on several projects and films and whatnot. She's great. That's cool. That is cool. No, is she? I'm trying to remember. She's an LA native too, right? How did you guys? What did you guys like meet in school or something? Or just around the
scene? No, actually, she's from Las Vegas, and I actually met her when I was working for Interview Magazine. It was funny too because I went to a house party and people were like, oh my God, Cher's coming. Oh, Cher's going to be here. And I thought they were talking about Cher, like the singer Cher. And I was just like, everyone kept singing.
Yeah. Half-breed.
So
sing it, Cher.
I was at this
party. I love it.
Yeah. I was at this party and then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, Cher finally arrived. Like everyone run downstairs, like to see Cher. And so me and the friend that was there, we like walked downstairs and was like, I don't see Cher anywhere. What are you talking about? And then of course, this girl walks in wearing this Cleopatra metallic headdress and people are just crowding around, running up to her. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, her name is Cher. That's this girl, and that's how I met her. And it was just like,
and you're like, I need to know her.
Yeah, no, I definitely had this just presence, and it was like, whoa, like, okay, like, she's definitely somebody that I want to either know or, like, work with or do some kind of project with, and, yeah, the rest is history.
That's awesome. That is fantastic. Very cool, man. Very cool. I don't know how this happened, Chris, but we're up against the time. Man, it just went by so quick, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, that was quick.
I'm telling you, it's like we've been on for 15 minutes, but no, it's been an hour. Crazy. Now, we got a couple minutes. Is there anything we need to get in before we do run out of time that we need to let people know about?
The only thing other than the new project that I'm starting is we are planning around August. I'm going to be doing some screenings here in L.A. of the last film, Heavy Makeup, and also Trick of the Witch around Halloween. I've got like two events lined up at one of these downtown art gallery / theaters. We're going to be doing a Heavy Makeup screening. Maybe we'll do like two screenings of that. And then in October, we're going to screen Trick of the Witch again for Halloween. Like, I'm out the details, but yeah, so we're going to, just to hype up the new film, going to show some of the older films. And then, you know, once Cher's film is finished, we'll probably be premiering that. And then, yeah, then hopefully Atomic Babylon will be in the finishing stages. And then I'll be telling people, come see it.
Well, fantastic, fantastic. As these dates get a little closer, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be sharing all the info that that I get from Chris and whatnot on all my social media and blogs and everything. So we'll just – but like I said, the easiest way to keep up to date is get to his website, chrismorrisseyfilms.com, and then also get to his social media links, his social media pages and whatnot. That's just the world we live in, and it's you know – the way things are done today, you know, that's how you keep up to date with everybody. It's easy, you know. Remember those?
Yeah, and I would say I'm more.
Oh God,
I'm more active on Instagram, I'd say. So I would definitely be probably posting things more up to date
on the Instagram,
and then you know, yeah. But
gotcha.
Yeah, I gotta. That's another thing, like, you got to get back on. I got to get back onto Facebook and Twitter and be more frequent on that, because I kind of just – it's hard to keep up with all these different
– Oh, it is. And, you know, Facebook got a little crazy for a while, you know, with all the political stuff and everything. And it just got – you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, I got to take a break. And it's hard, you know, just because it was so, you know, inundated. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe everybody's crazy uncle figured out how to use Facebook finally. I don't know. And then started, you know. But I think it's calmed down a little bit. Let's hope. Or
yeah, for me, I would try to go on and see people's updates, and I'm just like, oh, you posted that a week ago? Like, I'm just seeing it now. So it's
right.
Hard to like.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how all that works. Algorithm stuff and everything. It's Twitter. I've been on Twitter a lot more lately. I need to do Instagram more. I might just break down, and everybody knows. I mean, the reason I don't post that much on Instagram anymore is because I don't have a phone. I don't use a cell or a smartphone, and so I'm doing everything through the computer, and it's hard to do on Instagram. I mean, it can be done, but it's difficult. But I might just break. Everybody keeps giving me a hard time about the lack of smartphones. And it's not that I have one for any like big, you know. Oh, I'm showing the man. I'm not using a. No, I'm just cheap, and you know, that's what it is. You know, I'm like, I have a phone at home. I'm always at home. I work from home. Why would I need another phone? You know.
Yeah. No. It definitely is. It takes getting used to.
I know people. They're like, you're like Fred Flintstone. You don't have a phone. What's wrong? Get a flip phone. It's a very. I need to just. You know what it is, Chris. Years ago, I used to, and I think you know this. I used to club a lot. I used to go to a lot of nightclubs and whatnot. And back in the day, around 2000 or so, was when the digital cameras first came out. And you know they were like $1,000, man, for this big thing.
Oh, yeah,
you bought, and you had to put a disc into it to save your pictures on, which was great. You know, it was better than film, but I was always setting it down and losing it. I had one go through the washing machine one time. You know, it was in my pocket. It was just so after about the fourth or fifth one of those I bought at $1,000 a pop, I'm just like, well, this ain't for me, you know. And I'm afraid the phone is going to be the same thing. You know, I need to get a lanyard or a piece of yarn or something and put it around my neck or something so I don't lose them.
Yeah, I mean, these phones, it's like you have to, they come, you buy one, and then 2 weeks later, the newer model came out and yours is out of date. So it's like, it's very hard to like keep up with it, but you know, that's like
but you have to have it's becoming apparent to me.
Everything's all about, like, even when I talk to like people that work for like big studios and stuff, like everything's all about the apps and the phones. Like they don't even take phone calls anymore. It's like, just text me, just send me, you know, send me a message on Insta stories. It's like, what? Like, are you actually going to see it? Yeah. Like, it's so crazy. So yeah, like it's definitely like,
I don't even know what an Insta story is. I got to get used to, I got to get with it. What I need to do is buy a phone, find me a 16-year-old kid, you know, that can show me how it works, and I'll be okay. You know, it's terrible. It's terrible. And it's funny because I just got, actually somebody just messaged me and they're like, well, you posted a video from a, I didn't make that video, man. That was Danny with her phone. I don't know how to, Danny's handed me her phone. She's like, look up directions for this. I'm like, I don't even know how to, how this, I'm like Zoolander, you know, the files are in the computer. You know, I have no idea how a phone works. It's sad. I got to learn. Well, very cool, Chris. Well, you know, break a leg on your projects and whatnot. I know that goes without saying, and this will, you know, if there are ups and downs with it, we'll never know about them because you make it look so easy, you know, with all these projects and films. It amazes me, you know. Oh, man. Very good talking to you.
I might try to keep a little production journal or something because I do need to step up my social media post, so I might try to do a little blog or something, and just, or maybe I'll do like a video updates. But yeah, I need to kind of, this film I'm gonna try to do a little bit more, you know, different. So hopefully you guys will actually see any ups and downs along the way.
Okay. Nice. Well, I can't wait to see it. I can't. I'm hope there's more ups and downs. Very cool, man. Very cool.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thanks for taking time to be on the show. I really appreciate it. You always class to join up around here. That's always a good thing, you know. Very, very cool. I'm excited and inspired. So good stuff.
Good stuff.
Last thought, any aspiring filmmaker out there, there's probably one in Omaha, Nebraska, or, you know, Billings, Montana, or someplace, or maybe even L.A., you never know. Most paramount piece of advice to them. What do you think?
Just be true to yourself authentically, artistically, and just go for your dreams. You can make, anything's possible. You can make it happen. You just got to put in the work and think logically and also think outside the box and, you know, just do it. Go for it. Like, take the risk. If you don't take the risk, you'll never get anywhere. So you just do it. Take that one step forward and just go for it.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, thank you, sir. Everybody, Mr. Chris Morrissey, check out his website, chrismorrisseyfilms.com. Very, very cool. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Have a good one. And folks, we will be back tomorrow. We've got a new filmmaker on tomorrow that Chris actually has introduced me to. And we're having him on to talk about his projects and whatnot. And so tune in for that. It'll be the same time tomorrow, 9 o'clock here on the East Coast and 6 o'clock out on the West Coast and everywhere else at their local time accordingly. This episode, as I said before, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. That's a thing now. We're on 157 of them. Last I heard, maybe more now. The show, actually, like I said, all the links and everything in the show on the show page will follow that. So however you're listening to the podcast, you will be able to link to Chris's page and the different links we have up on there. Also, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, every podcast we do goes to Apple Podcasts free of charge. You're listening to that in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor, hit that ratings and review, keeps us up at the top of the page, and that comes in so handy when I'm talking to our advertisers. It really does. They're like, what's the number? I said, well, we are number one here, so that's a good thing. So in our category, so that's always a good thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. See you then. Good night, Chris.
Good night.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.